Hi everybody, this is Terry Laundry with the T-Theory Observations for Sunday, June 6, 2010. We have quite a bit of things to go through today. I did want to just present a interesting note that I got from Eric, and what Eric is saying to me is that thanks for your blog. Audio works fine here. And he said that he collects all of my audio for reasons, and now that we're doing the PDF files, if you take the audio files and you put them together with the pictures that you can get in PDF, you can just put them in a folder and tag it as a T-Theory Observations for a certain date, and store it on a computer, and it's all quite good. He says that all of the audio has come through fine. And he doesn't have any problems. There is one just comment, because the market took a big dive on Friday, if you get a lot of people that come to this site, you know, say, what does he think about the crash or something like that, because I pay a certain amount of money to run this website, there's a limitation on how many people I can handle. So if it's entirely possible that if a lot of people are here, you use up the server capabilities, and then when you try to get an audio file, what happens is that they don't tell you it's busy. They just refuse it, and you might misinterpret that as that there's a problem with the computer. In that case, all you have to do is wait till the rush is over, and pick it up later in the afternoon, in the Sunday evening. But you can almost always get it early Monday morning. And it's before the market opens, so it doesn't really make any difference. So you don't get overly frustrated with that sort of stuff. I do think that it is a good idea, though, to set up a little folder with each one and have the PDF files downloaded and put in that, and then the audio files. You can recreate the website later on. Not all of it is worthwhile, but we're getting to the point now where I think that you're going to start seeing a lot of things that are quite worthwhile. Let's move on to in this review section, which I'm doing here, which is a sort of big picture review, I did not mention in the Barron's of the last weekend, not the one that's currently on the market, on the shelves, is Alan Abelson, who is the longtime columnist, did do an article on the PowerShares QQQ, which is the exchange traded fund for the NASDAQ 100. It includes some of the best companies, the ones that are still competent in this country. And he reports that Alan Newman's advisory services, which looks at the insider traders' statistics, which they have to file because they have special knowledge of the company, shows that these guys are selling like crazy. There were 231 sellers and only 3 buyers. And the insiders, as recent as the figures are, which was sometime in the mid-May period, I think, they sold 59 million shares and purchased only 15,000. So there's a sell-buy ratio of about 4,000 to 1. That is not a resounding note of confidence for the prospects in these companies, which, as I said, are the biggies and very competent countries. He also notes that the analysts who are putting out these brochures and reports that go out to investors are as extremely bullish right now, the same way they were in March 2008, just before a 37% fall in that QQQ. So he's just saying that you're getting a profile here in which the insiders, who are the most knowledgeable people, are selling like mad, and the analysts are telling people that they're really bullish on all this stuff, and that's a setup. Now he says that there's always a caveat that these people are not infallible, but it turns out they always know more because they're the insiders by definition. So when you start seeing things starting to look difficult in the market, you don't want to get too pushed into the buy mode because you're getting oversold on the market, because the insiders are just telling you that there's something very, very powerful going on. So Robert sent me this message, and he said, to the extent that there is an indicator, apparently, called the accumulation distribution line. and it's on the computer service, which we will be covering later on. And it shows that accumulation is going higher and higher and higher, and distribution is very low, which would paint a very bullish and very opposite picture to this. So the question is, how can that be true? And the answer is, the problem with the 40-year cycle is that you're going into a mode in which numbers don't make any sense. You're going into an unrealistic world now, where conditions are flip-flopping into a super dangerous type of a condition where the people that own stocks are about ready to just panic. And just because somebody puts an indicator on the computer that says this is accumulation distribution, accumulation is good, therefore the smart people are buying things, it's not true. It could be just these analysts that are always wrong recommending to the masses to buy things, whereas the insiders in the Alan Abelson analysis are just dumping stocks and so forth. So it's a false indication, and it's very, the point about talking about some of these things that were like the Ray Dalio last week and so forth is that there are real smart people, and then there's a bunch of dumb indicators, and you have to watch out for the indicator interpretation. I think this is a case where you get the wrong way Corrigans, because they're looking at a computer and they think that's the real world, whereas the real world is being dictated by people who have inside knowledge, and then they have to file with the SEC what they're going to do. And you know, Marty Schwartz discovered that when you go into a bear market, the analysts will never tell you anything wrong. They just stay bullish right down to the end, which is how he left the brokerage business, because he didn't believe they were ethically correct, and went on and did it himself. Okay. Well, if you don't want to do this all yourself, I just go read the Barron's and go look at insider trading people. A lot of people do insider trading because it stood the test of time. But anyway, I hope that answers Robert's question, because I'm not going to get into the way they calculate the indicators. We'll be using some other indicators later on today. Now, having wrapped that part up, we're now going to move on to the three audio links that you see down below. And they come from King World News. That's Eric King, who is a hard money, I believe, from what I've seen at his website, is a hard money advocate. And he's interviewing three people. And you're welcome to just log on and listen to these. You've got Felix Zuloff, who is, and you've got John Hathaway and Jim Sinclair. These are all proponents of hard assets, generally gold. And they all have 40 years of experience. They're all ethical people. They're not perfect. Any of these free audios that you get, including mine, somebody has a business model behind it. So you have to understand that it could be an ulterior motive. In these three interviews, you're being a hard money advocate is asking questions of a hard money advocate. So they never give them any different questions, and everything sounds like it's going hunky dory, and they never made any mistakes or anything like that. But mistakes are being made. But generally, these people are quite good. With respect to the individuals, Felix Zuloff is a regular attendee of Barron's roundtable discussion, which comes in the early part of the year, where you have people who are good at giving big picture views, and they try to do a good job, and they try to get sane people who can see the good things when everybody's negative, and they can see bad things when people are generally positive, and will stand their ground on it, and they have a reasonable record of success. Doesn't have to be perfection, but they're worth listening to. So that's the first one. John Hathaway is a discussion of the from the viewpoint of the Tocqueville Gold Fund, which is an excellent fund, considered to be one of the best around. And incidentally, in the latest Barron's issue, the only thing that I found in the one that came out on Saturday, that would be I guess the 5th of June is the date of the issue. They do have a written interview with John Hathaway, and you can see that at the library, or you can get it. If you're interested, and he kind of echoes this same story. The interesting thing that he does is if you look on Friday, for example, gold was up $10, We're going to discuss gold in detail later on, but gold was up $10, but the Hathaway's fund was down 2% because it's a gold mining fund. Nevertheless, he is talking about, he thinks that the gold stocks is the better place than the gold bullion. One of the reasons that can be true, and one of the things, subjects for another week, if you're interested in that sort of thing, is if you form the ratio of a gold mining fund, like Tocqueville Gold, divided by a GLD, you'll see that that kind of gold mining stocks is shrinking in relative strength, and the gold bullion looks like it's the better way to go. But what happens is that they all end up being pretty much over a long distance in time. They both make money, and it's comparable, and Hathaway's done better than the gold bullion. So what can be happening is you're getting a compression that the mining stocks are weaker but they've been doing it for so long they're getting undervalued. So it's a value proposition. And what he's saying is that even though that's true, he's not going to talk about it too much. You're getting into a point now where you want to keep an eye out for the mining stocks, because if you plot this over 10 years, you'll find they swing in cycles. And if you can find the end of the cycle when the gold mining stocks stop becoming less attractive, they're probably cheaper. There'll be a flip over point sometime, and if you can find that, you can get a boost in the performance. The third one is Jim Sinclair. It's probably not known to a lot of people, but he's actually a mining expert, and he has a very interesting blog where he writes on and on and on and on and on. And he became famous in the last speculation in precious metals, which was in the 1980s. 1980, it peaked in 1980, but the big phenomenon at that time which attracted people was the Hunt brothers had tried to corner the silver market. And silver is known as poor man's gold because the price is always less. And gold had started in the 60s, somewhere around $5. It came up to $10, and it looked like it was overbought. But in the insanity that developed, it ran up to $50, and the Hunt brothers got so enthusiastic they were buying the stuff on margin. And finally, when it went bust, there was the whole empire was in a train wreck. And anyway, the court appointed Jim Sinclair to come in and straighten out the how you evaluate companies and so forth. So he's been around that's a long time ago, and he has recent. And what makes it why he's worthy listening to? He's making a bet with people that by the early part of the new year, that would be 11, gold will top. He projects that gold will top 1650. It's now pushing 1200. Okay, so you got something like $450 left on it, and he will bet $1 million with anybody that he's right. And if you want to disagree with him, you have to put up $1 million. But he'll put up $1 million. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because you know that is telling you right away that somebody that knows something is willing to make is fairly confident that he's going to do it. I looked at the rest run rate. I think it's entirely appropriate. The only thing is that when we go back and we look at the indicator charts, which follow the next section, you can't really find that it's ready to break out now. It's kind of crowding itself up around the 1200 topish area, and it's probably making what is it called an ascending triangle pattern, where the bottoms start to get higher and higher, and the tops are contained by people who keep selling, traders that keep selling it when it gets up high, but the bottoms keep coming higher, and then it breaks out and it makes a run. And so that's that if you can find that pattern, that could be where John Hathaway's fund actually takes off, and it also could be the place where you get the breakout to find out that the gold has an upside value. We'll discuss that in the next section. So I think that pretty much covers my overview. And the two comments that I wanted to cover, so we'll let you can listen to these if you would like to, and you can store these audio files and save them for whatever you're collecting material on. It set up something for the little precious metals area, and I think you find that they're good people to listen to. Be right back. Bye bye.